Hey there, Critters. This year marks our 10-year anniversary of Critical Role, and we are partnering with Fathom Entertainment to bring our 2025 tour to movie theaters across the U.S. and Canada. Head to theaters to see The Wedding of the Year coming to theaters on October 15th with an iconic Jester and Ford wedding at our New York City live show. Visit fathomentertainment.com/Critical Role to find tickets in theaters near you. That's fathomentertainment.com/Critical Role.
Greetings, audio enthusiasts. Whether you're at the gym, lounging in the kitchen, hands wrapped around a cheering mug of coffee, or using this broadcast as a cover of white noise while you desperately put everything back where you found it in the house guest's room. Because now that you saw, why else would he have... Okay, calm down, girl. I've got to clear my mind and get out of here before... Is that a car in the driveway? Anyway, the following podcast is not real. And now, enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, do not worry. This is everything you need to know about 2 years and honestly, almost 3 years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago, as predicted by my high school yearbook, into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload a podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the town of Hogsface, which is now being run by me and my cohorts, in the land of Foon. And I'm joined, as always, by my buddy, my co-host, and my co-member of Library Face, Usidore the Wizard.
Department of Homeland Security.
The Department of Homeland Security, where we run Hogsface. Usidore the Wizard.
I am Usidore, Wizard of the 12th Realm of Ephesius, Master of Light... Hold on. Go. Yes! Come on!
What?
Usidore,
what?
The buzzards are having a terrible season.
The Skur buzzards?
Yes.
Usidore, we're doing the podcast. This isn't the
time
to be
watching...
Well,
I murdered a horse.
Also, you murdered a horse in the middle of the tavern.
Well, it was a bad horse. I only murder the worst horses.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a horse smoking with a big pipe, you know it's bad. And those are the ones I kill.
Oh.
Murder.
With a big pipe?
Yes. How would you smoke?
It's complicated. Usidore, we spent almost all of our time in this tavern, and look, yes, my Camry did smash to the wall and is still sitting in the middle of the tavern, but don't, kill a horse right next to it.
How else am I supposed to watch the game? I want to see what's going on in the Middens game, and frankly, I just need something to cheer me up, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's this bird next to me that I don't care for.
Oh, that's right. There's a starling very close to the table.
I don't care for starlings. You know how much I love birds.
And the starling has a mayor's sash?
What?
The starling is wearing a mayor's sash.
What?
Chirp, chirp, motherfuckers.
Chunt, you didn't.
Sorry, not sorry. I'm a starling.
Wow, Chunt, last week you were an oyster, and the week before that you were an ape, and usually
gorilla.
You...
Gorilla.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. That is
make a monkey
bad.
Out of me. I was a gorilla, not an ape.
So sorry. I don't really entirely know the difference, but I understand that was a bad mistake for me to make.
But typical now one. You're the most despicable shitbird.
Starlings are not shitbirds, okay?
Yes, they are.
Well, I met someone, okay?
Ugh.
I'm getting older, and I feel this anxiety of, I should settle down soon, and so I've been going on a lot of dates, and...
Yeah, usually you're
that
an
leads
adorable
to some hookups and
yeah, usually you're an adorable talking badger, but Chunt, in the last couple of weeks you've just been having sex with lots of different animals and turning into lots of different animals.
Well, I've a bit of a menagerie, I admit it, but yeah, I'm just looking for the one, I guess. I'm just
yeah, you've just been on a real ass menagerie. I'm sure
that stopped
to hear.
Me dead in my tracks.
I'm sure that's very hard to hear.
Well, I just I'm just looking for someone.
Mr. Mayor, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I want a family, you know? I want someone to go home to every night. I want someone to talk to about my day. And Arnie, you've been that for a while, but...
But
we're friends. It's not, it's not like that.
Mr. Mayor, can you excuse us for a moment?
Yeah.
I am very torn here. First of all, I respect the office of mayor.
Oh, sure. Ever since you found that mayor sash in the old mayor's office, you've been very respectful towards it.
Mm-hmm. Second, I fucking hate starlings.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst bird.
That's like the only thing I know about you.
What? Third, Chunt's my friend.
Yeah.
So I'm going back and forth here. I hate starlings. I like Chunt. I respect the office. I don't know what to do.
You know what?
What?
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Ass menagerie. Ass menagerie.
What a fascinating turn of phrase, Arnold.
Yeah.
I've never heard such a thing. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
If Chunt is 2 out of 3, he ain't bad.
Sorry, I came back a little early, sir.
That's all right. Arnold has just blown my mind with his earth wisdom.
Chunt, is it exhausting to just flap your wings and, like, hover in front of that microphone?
No, I feel pretty good. I mean, my bones are hollow now, so it's all pretty easy. I feel very light.
Brag much?
Because my bones are light?
Yeah, way to show off.
You called me a shitbird seconds ago.
Oh, Chunt, I'm sorry. Mr. Mayor, I must admit, I am all akimbo. I'm flabbergasted, and I don't know how to respond to you this week.
Well, what's the scuttlebutt?
Well, you're a starling, but you're Chunt, and you're the mayor.
Well, also, that reminds me of something. Mayor Manana would like to continue to be called Mayor Manana. Even though he's no longer mayor.
I suppose he did hold the office.
It's going to be very confusing.
Just call him mayor. That's what he wants, okay? He's been moping around all day. He's very sullen. He's gotten all kind of mushy.
Sure, I'll call him Mayor Manana.
Thank you, guys. I just don't want him. Don't call him Banana Man.
Okay.
And Usador, it's me. It's Chunt.
I know.
This is just skin deep. Look beyond that, huh?
Look, you two are going to have to figure this out because we have a lot of work to do together to run this podcast and to run Hog's Face. And look, I wanted to come here and talk about how hard it is for me to raise this new orphan boy, Brad, who had his hands burned off and then smashed by an obsidian wizard hand, but I don't need to make everything about me.
I fixed that, by the way. And it's Arnie Lad.
Look, he's my orphan. I can call him Brad.
All right.
I call him Potty.
How is that going?
Ugh, it's confusing. Guys, let's talk to our guest. I'm very excited because one of the most famous and powerful people in all of Foon is here. It's Larry Birdman from the Mittens League.
Hey, guys. I apologize that I'm a little late. I was just watching the end of the Skur Buzzards game.
Don't spoil it for me. I have a murdered horse over here.
Oh, you've got
on
delay.
It on pause.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, fair enough. Good to see you again, Arnold, and Usador
Lawrence.
And who is it's Larry?
This is Chunt.
Oh, wow!
You probably didn't recognize me with the mayor sash.
No, I didn't take you for a starling fucker. But nonetheless, good to see you, Chunt. I hope everybody's having a good time. You're in much better spirits than when
I
last saw you.
I'll have you know the starling that I had sex with was very well known. Very well known. I won't say who.
You clearly want to drop this name, so drop it.
No, it's
drop
it's,
the name.
No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. How are you, Larry Birdman?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm in a great mood. In a great mood. I really I got some R&R lately. Some rest and rice. And enjoyed the both of those quite a bit. And during my rest, I did a lot of reading, which I don't normally get time to do and kind of a busy...
Well, why don't you call that R&R&R?
That's a great point. I don't know why I don't.
Yeah, because you said R&R, then you tacked on another R, which was reading.
That's right. And I also relaxed throughout that entire process. So I could call it the 4 R's.
Yeah. R&R&R&R.
Yeah, but then it's just getting too long and it's redundant.
Redundant, that's a fifth R.
Well, that's right.
And then that's, yeah. What have you been reading?
Well, have you guys read this this One Groovy Minotaur series by Rook Nasterly?
What?
Everybody's been talking about it. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yes, I've heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
That's great. It's about this groovy minotaur.
Uh-huh.
And then each of the subsequent books in the series starts with the next, you know, ordinal number moving up. And like the second one was two swanky cyclopses and then three randy centaurs and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But the main character is this groovy minotaur, and he's like it's part like hard-boiled detective and part hardcore porn. It's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
It's and he's
so many dicks.
What's that?
Just so many kinds of dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Detectives
yeah.
and good point. Penises, yeah. Oh.
No, but it's really not. The sex is necessary and, you know, done in an appropriate way, I guess sure. I would say. But regardless, it's an incredible series of books. So I just finished the fourth one of those. I've been reading them, been binging on those and having
and
a great
sorry,
time.
And I'm sorry, what was the fourth one again?
The fourth one, that's the Four Chill Wood Elves.
Four Chill Wood
Elves. Yeah. They're running out of synonyms for groovy.
Sure, yeah.
Like pretty fast, which was, I don't think Rook Nasterly understood how big this series was going to get.
Is Rook Nasterly like a famous author in Foon?
It wasn't until this series came out, but now.
But now, one of the most famous bird authors in all of Foon.
That's who I slept with. I didn't.
What?
What?
I slept with Rook Nasterly. She's a starling.
Rook Nasterly is a starling?
Yeah.
That's right. A female starling.
Wait a second. Is Rook Nasterly a nom de plume?
Well, she has a plume. Hmm. She has plumage. She's a bird.
I am beside myself. You have slept with this author who has changed her name clearly from Starling Nasterly to Rook Nasterly. I respect the office. I'm sorry, Lawrence.
Any spoilers for the upcoming? Did you learn anything about the next one in the series?
Well, let's just say...
At least the title.
Let's just say when we get to seven, we're going to see some swans.
All right.
But what's going to be the adjective?
Seven swans sucking.
Oh, mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't...
It's a little off.
I'm not sure you slept with Rook Nasterly. I'm just going to lay that out right now, just based on one context clue, which is there's all of the books... It goes an ordinal number, followed by an adjective, followed by a creature.
Like seven sultry swans
right.
would fit.
If he had said that, then I would have believed it. Maybe Rook Nasterly said that. But
maybe
it
it's
was,
a working title.
Could
oh,
be.
So if somebody finds it, they're not like, oh, this is clearly, you know, they're like, what is this?
I don't know. If you think about it, too, like you're getting cozy with a starling, and they're like, hey, I happen to be Rook Nasterly. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm not a rook.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to think. Now that I'm running it back through my mind, I'm pretty sure you just got duped into kind of ordinary sex.
Well, it's still fun to fly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But it's great to be back here in Hog's Face. Great news, as I'm sure you're well aware of, but it looks like for sure Hog's Face will be getting a mittens team within the year.
Really?
What?
Yeah,
that is good news.
The bids are in. There were three qualifying bids from potential owners, so now it's just cutting through the all of the paperwork and the red tape, and we have to vote. It's very clear, in my opinion, which of the three potential owners should be allowed to own the team, but people don't usually. Go with my decision or a logical decision when it comes to mittens, unfortunately.
Yeah. Usador and Chun and I have been running Hog's Face, and I guess we didn't know anything about a mittens team coming back to town.
Do you need a bird?
Yeah, well, if the bird comes onto the field, as you know, it will be disintegrated or caught for 700
points.
Oh,
that's true. We can't lose a mayor, so.
Yeah, you don't want to be anywhere.
Stay away.
You don't want to be in bird form anywhere near a mittens field.
Sure,
that's
sure,
for sure.
That's right.
Well, who are the three potential owners?
Yeah, I'm sorry that this wasn't conveyed to you. Certainly should be, and you should have a say as the coterie running this town at this point. But, there's three different ones. There's a group that I think is probably the least likely to succeed, and that's it's just a bunch of hedge funds who have put some money in. They're groups that want to build a mittens field with hedges on either side of it, and they're willing to fund that.
Oh. But
that, to me, is unlikely. The ones that I support are Lord and Lady Superhoot.
Are those the owl owners?
Yeah, that's right. And they'd like to call the team the Hog's Face Hoot Babies.
Well, they've got my vote.
It's a fun name to cheer for.
They're terrific. They're basically royalty in Foon in the sense of... they made all of their money saving people's lives, and then people just gave them money for how good they are as people.
Uh-huh.
And then they donated almost all of it to charity.
Oh.
They've put in a hard offer, $25 million in gems and gold.
Oh,
so
that's a lot of gems and gold.
That's right, and that's $5 million more than the asking price for a mittens team. So in my opinion, that's just a cut and dry. We should give it to Lord and Lady Superhoot, and Hog's Face should be the Hoot Babies.
Oh, but then there must be, you said there's a third one still, though.
That's right. The third one is supported by certain members of the Mittens Confederation, and that is, it's It's led by a gentleman named Mysterious Anonymous. Almost certainly an evil entity.
Probably.
He is willing to put $5 down, five coins, and then all future payments will come via conquered souls.
Huh.
Which sounds appalling.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. It's based on the future, right? Like, who knows if he's even going to conquer these souls. And then if he does, why are they worth anything?
Yeah, what are you going to do with these conquered souls?
I don't know.
It's easy to collect souls. Or to buy someone's soul, or to sell a soul.
Or to make conquered soul into grape juice.
Also, let's not overlook, 5 coins is a lot less than 25 million.
Right. I mean, these souls are going to have to be super valuable to make up that delta.
Hold on. It's 24,999,995 less.
I'll just have to take your word for it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, it's not a good deal. Now, who's pushing for them? To even be in the race. It seems ridiculous. It seems obvious.
I'd say we're almost evenly divided. It's probably going to come down to one swing vote, one way or the other. And mostly it's Friends of the Dark Lord who are supporting Mysterious Anonymous bid. And then everyone else is like, why don't we take the $25 million from the extremely nice charitable people?
I will say, the one thing that makes me interested in this other bid is that's a cool name.
Mysterious Anonymous?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me want to learn more.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to balance out a Mysterious with like a more common last name or an Anonymous with a more common first name.
Yeah, that's like in One Groovy Minotaur, the hero's name is Jack Escalator.
Ooh,
which I
like, love that.
Because it's one regular name and then it's the name of a
fantastical
object.
Name.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, that's a great name. That's a great name.
Like, you might not know this.
Like, say my name was like Ryan DeGiorgi, I would definitely want to change it to something cool like Jack Escalator.
Yeah, Jack Escalator.
You might not know this, Arnold, because you're not as familiar with the game. But in the game Offices and Bosses, there is a thing that is an escalator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It escalates you to another floor in a building.
Oh, okay.
And all you do is stand there and have a stair that moves and lifts you to the very next level. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Is it some sort of metaphor in the book? Is Jack Escalator someone who wants to rise up in the world?
I just read a paper, like a child wrote, like a thesis paper on exactly that.
I love children's theses.
Yeah, you're way ahead of it.
Wonderful.
Wait, theses?
Is that the plural for that?
No.
Thesi?
Yeah, theses is right.
Ah, okay.
So we have the Hoot Babies, is the best name. I mean, just coming out of my mouth, I want to cheer for that all night long. Hoot Babies. Are there names for the other two teams? Did I miss that?
The hedge fund, we haven't heard anything so far from them. And then Mysterious Anonymous wants to call it the Soul Conquerors.
Huh,
which
a little
on
the nose.
Yeah, consistent with how they plan to pay.
Yes, I am sorry that you're having this conundrum come across your desk, but is there any chance that the deciding vote is our mayor?
I mean, I would like that to be.
You're going
to
leave that down to a banana?
You're the mayor.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me that you, as the leaders of the town of Hogsface, have a vote. But again, when it comes to mittens, what makes sense is never what's accepted.
Yeah, how does this process work?
It's been a long time coming, I'll tell you that, because when you want to bring a team into the league, you have to start with 1,000 submissions. So that can take years, because usually there's only 5 to 10 that are interested in submitting. So you've got to go out and get all these submissions. You need 1,000, not submissions, but, names.
Yeah.
1,000 signatures, if you will, that say this town needs to have a mittens team. So once you get that 1,000, then you set up a meeting. And that meeting is designed to put in place a schedule. And that schedule will design whether or not you're going to have future meetings to decide whether to put a team into place. The whole thing's taken about 2.5-3 years to get moving. But we're almost there.
I had a petition that I tricked people into signing by putting at the top, this town needs a mittens team, and then over needs a mitten teams, I put needs an enema, and then had them sign that, because they wanted an enema, but they didn't want a mittens team. Oh. I'd go around and go, this town needs an enema.
That's a shame. I hope that
everyone signed it. I got all the signatures, but then I didn't have enough money to really be in the bidding war.
This is a weird town.
Well, if it's up to the mayor, I mean, hands down, I'm voting for the Hog's Face Hoot Babies.
It would be great to have Lord and Lady Hoot Baby in town that often. It'd be Super Hoot. Lord and Lady Super Hoot, yeah.
I just wish I knew more about this mysterious anonymous person. Like, are they related to Beautiful Anonymous?
What?
Have you guys met this Beautiful Anonymous person?
No, I haven't heard about him. Are they related to Pseudonymous Bosch?
Oh, I don't know. Possibly. Hmm. But Beautiful Anonymous will just talk to anybody for an hour. If someone, like, talks to them about their problem, they'll talk to them for an hour.
Surely they can walk away or something.
No.
Really?
They will. They'll give someone a straight-up hour, and they will just listen
and
engage with compassion for that hour, and then they're done.
That's got to get hard.
Oh, yeah.
There's this great character in the second book of the One Groovy Minotaur series named Nick Cigarette.
Oh.
And what he is all about, he's a great listener.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is Jack Escalator is a man of action. You know what I mean? Like, whether it comes to the boardroom or the bedroom.
Yeah.
And he's almost never in a boardroom. Let's start with that. Like, he's mostly out solving mysteries.
Yeah.
Rarely, like, one of the books involves a boardroom. But wherever he is, man of action, Nick Cigarette is a man of processing other people's words and then using that to help Jack Escalator.
Oh.
Oh, the man behind the man.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, interesting. Now, in Officers and Bosses, there's a thing called a cigarette. Now, if you see a horse that you know is bad, it's probably smoking a pipe. But in Officers and Bosses, they smoke small cylinders of paper with tobacco in them.
Yeah, they're called vapes.
Hmm, okay.
Larry, I have a question for you. What will this do to Hog's Face? Like, aside from who gets to own the team, how will this change Hog's Face to have a team here?
Well, it'll be terrific for Hog's Face. It'll boost the economy.
Well, that's good.
On any given weekend or 2 to 4 month period, whenever, however long a Mittens game takes, you will often have more people in town just to watch the game than otherwise live in the town. And when those people come, they're going to buy rainbow bowls, they're going to look to, you know, buy property, they're going to do all the different things that boost the economy of Hog's Face. And so that's a big pitch that we always use at the Mittens Confederation.
A lot of people will come here to the tavern for drink and sustenance and a bed to sleep in.
Well, that's good.
It will be very good for you, you miserly old greedy man.
Look, that was only for about 15 to 20 minutes.
Now, we are going to need the people of Hog's Face to pay for the stadium.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for the Super Hoots to not only buy the team, but buy the stadium as well. I don't understand why anyone would do that. No,
But wouldn't the FML, once they've been paid for the franchise, wouldn't they take part of that money to then build the stadium?
Yeah, you might think, but that's not how it works. Oh. Instead, what happens is the FML takes all of that money.
Okay.
And then we use it for our pleasure. And then the people who are going to go to the game, they pay for the stadium.
Arnie, this would be a great branding opportunity. Maybe our podcast can buy them a stadium? Think about all the promotion we would get.
Oh, think about it now. Get a nuts stadium.
Makes sense to me. In fact, this year, people have started being able to not just observe a Mittens game via murdering a horse or the walk and pop or the magic box, but also via podcast due to the extreme excitement around getting nuts.
Ooh,
oh, thank you so
that's
much.
That's wonderful. Yes, I'm glad we could help raise the art form.
Well, how much do one of these stadiums cost?
You know, usually they don't make it more than one game. Oh. It goes bananas out there.
It goes bananas.
Mayor bananas?
I'd say it's between 2 and 3 million.
Per stadium, per game?
Yeah, that's right.
Guys, I like sports as much as the next person, which
I don't
is actually
think that's accurate.
True, I like sports less than the next person.
Right, you've never even made any effort to learn about Mittens.
Yeah, I don't like fantasy sports, and I don't like non-fantasy sports. But that's just a lot of money for the town to shell out for a stadium.
But you can afford it.
How can I afford it?
You're a rich businessman who owns the Vermilion Minotaur.
First of all, I don't even own the Vermilion Minotaur.
So miserly.
I'm just running it while Otak is off somewhere.
That
reminds me, we've got to go
figure we've got
what
to go find Otak.
Right. I'm going to put that on the list of things that I'm going to
write
do.
It down.
Okay, yes.
And I'm going to be proactive about it, though. I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to do something about it.
Today, salad.
Today, last week I had a salad.
Where did you get all the money to fix up the wall that you drove through to kill all those zombies?
Oh, I just hung a sheet and then I painted it like a wall.
Oh. That's why I was able to fly through that wall.
That's why it's so cold in here.
In the one Groovy Minotaur series, there's this character who's been missing since the first book. Her name is Sue Shortbread. And everybody's looking to get the shortbread.
Sure.
And I don't want to spoil it for you, but if you are interested in ways of finding someone that you're looking for, I recommend reading this. This is not just like good fiction. This is like a how-to when it comes to a manhunt or a female hunt or a creature hunt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would love to read it. I've actually been thinking that I'm going to read another book that you've mentioned last time you were here, The Loneliest Lonely Son of Lonely?
Oh, yeah, by Tom Bigglesworth, the genesis for the Mittens game.
Yeah, I know when I was at the Dark Lord's house for his birthday party a couple months back, and when I was looking around the place and I looked in his library, he had a whole collection of the whole series. And yeah,
oh, my God, the whole series?
The whole. Well, at least the first eight books.
Yeah, that's it. There's eight.
So I was thinking I was going to read those.
Yeah, you know, they're okay.
I mean, they're the basis for Mittens. The entire description of the game comes from extrapolating information from the books themselves, even though it doesn't fully explain it, so we sort of had to fill in the gaps a little bit, which is probably where some of the strangeness of Mittens comes, like the idea that people sit in seats and watch it.
Right. Yeah.
We added that part.
Bigglesworth doesn't know anything about sports. Let's start with that. And he invented this sport. And my God, it doesn't make any sense, just to start with. And you know, the rest of the book is pretty good.
Yeah, what is it about?
There's a guy named Lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
And he's got 11 sons, okay? Each one born an increasing number of years apart. The second son comes 1 year after the first. 2 years later, the third son. 3 years later, the fourth. And so forth and so on. And so by the time you get to the last son, it's like 13 years in between him and his next closest brother. So he's very lonely.
Oh.
And then he always calls himself super lonely, and then he says he's the loneliest, loneliest son of Lonely, who's Tom Lonely, the protagonist's father. So he goes off to a boarding school, and in that boarding school, he ends up befriending like a redheaded boy, and there's a girl. There's like a bunch of other white children. There's like one Asian, maybe one.
Do you have Asians on Earth?
Yeah, we do, although I don't know if it's the same thing, but please don't answer that question.
There are kids who are getting older. They're aging.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just, they're aging more quickly than regular kids.
Oh.
So those are Asians.
Maybe, gosh. Maybe.
To be fair, some of the
Brad
others,
might be Asian.
Some of the other sections do have there are white people and brown people, and,
yes,
and blue people and orange people and green people and some pink people. There's some representation, but it takes a little while for it to kick in.
Yeah, and so like over the course of I don't know 8 books, he basically repeatedly saves the world despite otherwise being kind of hapless.
Huh.
It's 7 books in a play, but
yeah,
stop at 7.
I'm going to read the play.
Oh, don't start there.
No, definitely don't
no,
start.
No, I'm not going to start there. Look, I'm just saying I'm being proactive, and this year I'm going to read 8 children's books.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Birdman.
So, Larry, I don't know how to feel about Mittens coming back to Hog's Face. I don't want to be a spoil sport, but it's just so much money for the town to pay for. Maybe can we get the Super Hoots to pay for the stadium?
That's Lord and Lady Super Hoot to you.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, they are, without a doubt, the most generous, beloved couple that I can think of in all of Foon.
Yes, you're very lucky to have met them.
Oh, yeah. They are exceedingly polite.
How are they? I was just going to ask. How are they in person? Are they as charming as they seem when you watch them on a Pop and Lock?
Well, it's interesting because there's a real dichotomy there.
Ooh.
Because Arnie, you may not be aware of this, but Lord and Lady Superhoot are what's called an owlbear. They have the body of a bear and the head of an owl.
Oh.
But they also were touched by some sort of magic that allows them to be completely sentient, more or less like a human, uh-huh, in their ability to interact with others. So the interesting dichotomy is they couldn't be more friendly. Mm-hmm. And then they sit you down at dinner, and then they just ravage like an entire deer, like right in front of you. Just absolutely disgusting. Like, go to town on that deer.
Well, they can't help the way they eat. It's just the way they are. Right?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't hold it against him.
Oh, good.
I love him. I'm just saying it's an odd, you know, you're in there, you go to shake their hand.
Yes.
They mean to just shake it lightly, and they're just so powerful, they just throw you right to the ground.
Oh.
And then once you hit the ground, one of them may try to, you know, devour you.
Oh, sure.
And then the other one, you know, will stop them before that occurs. At least I was fortunate in that respect.
That is fortunate.
Am I correct in hearing through the grapevine that they cannot conceive? Is that maybe why they want to call the team the Hoot Babies?
It's a sore subject, but that's exactly right. It turns out owlbears normally pretty easily can conceive, but they can't. And they've done like 6 or 8 rounds of IVF. And
sorry, what is IVF?
Take some ivy, pull it off a wall, and you F it.
Ah,
yeah, to try and help make you more fertile, because plants are very fertile.
Oh, sure.
You just kind of F that ivy.
F that ivy.
Well, the way that owlbear copulates, man, I hate to go into details if you don't want them, but
please.
They ejaculate their semen onto a plant of some sort, and then the other one rubs against that plant.
Okay.
And then eventually, via osmosis, it settles into them, and they're able to spawn another owlbear.
So someone can get pregnant from that?
Well, another owlbear can.
Oh, okay, but not humans?
What's going on here?
Nothing.
I'm just
interviewing.
Have you been in the cum gardens?
What's this? And where is this? Oh, great. The starling fucker is disgusted with my behavior. I'm sorry. The badger who fucked a gorilla, who fucked a clam.
An oyster.
Oyster, sorry.
I was a gorilla and I had
really
sex with an oyster.
I don't the difference, but I'm sure it's
And terrible. To say fuck is to cheapen it.
I'm sorry.
These were meaningful nights of my life.
How would a gorilla make love to a clam?
I don't know. How did you get there?
I didn't make love to a clam. I made love to an oyster.
Oh, you're right.
There's a difference.
That reminds me of a great scene in the third book in the One Groovy Minotaur series where Escalator goes to town with a seafood buffet.
With a whole buffet?
That's right, but as part of the orgy, he ends up stumbling upon a clue that allows him to solve the crime of the Chillwood Elves.
Actually, I already had this scene in the book spoiled for me, and I heard that he went to the cheaper buffet, not the fee A buffet, but the fee B buffet.
That's right.
Usador.
Yes?
Did you get bitten by one of those zombies?
Yes! Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yep. No, never mind. We knew that.
And I have an obsidian hand of pure evil.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, look, it's growing up my arm. What do you know?
This can't. Nah, that'll probably resolve itself.
That could be pretty useful as a hillsman.
Oh, that's very true. Yes, perhaps. Perhaps I'll audition to be on the team.
Oh, that's right. So if Hogsface gets a mittens team, we could all be on the team potentially.
Sure. Tryouts. We gotta have tryouts.
You're gonna need a flower. You're gonna need a Baskin. You're gonna need a quarterback. 19 hillsmen and 10 miscellaneous.
Oh, wow. What's the coolest position? I guess I don't think I've ever asked this. Like, what's the coolest position to play?
Look, this hurts me to say because I was a Baskin and a famous Baskin.
Yeah.
But I've always been a little jealous of the quarterback.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the quarterback is a very exciting position.
What makes it so cool?
Just that, you know, the Baskin, you have so many different things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Hundreds of things. Whereas the quarterback, you know, you get to kind of survey the whole field, determine what needs to be done, sit down, type out a telegram, have the telegram then put into firework displays, which is the only way you're allowed to communicate with your teammates. You probably don't know this, having not yet gone to a men's game. But you can't, you know, yell or scream out plays, so you have to get them to the quarterback. He types them into a telegram, turned into fireworks, shot in the air. You read the code. And I just have always thought that's pretty neat.
That is pretty cool.
Mr. Birdman, you make a very good point. It is a shame that Arnold has not yet seen a mittens game, and I think we should add to Arnold's list of things to do, taking him to a mittens game.
You're going to read 8 children's books this year, and you're going to go to a mittens game.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to defeat the Void, the Dark Lord, make Hogsface better, start season 2 of Offices and Bosses,
yeah, right.
Get back to my wife and child, raise this orphan child, Brad. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other things.
Arnie, lad.
That's Brad.
Save O-Talk.
Save Ota.
We gotta save Ota.
If he's alive, which I'm sure he is.
Probably.
But yeah, I'd love to see a Mittens game. And you know what? I'd love to see a Mittens game here in Hog's Face.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. It excites me to tell you that I have been accredited by the Confederation to come and allow you, as the triumvirate leaders of Hog's Face, one spot on the voting commission to determine, A, whether there will be Mittens in Hog's Face, and B, if so, who shall be the owner of the Mittens team.
I mean, you know what my vote is because I, as the mayor, already pronounced it, but what do you two think?
It has to be Lord and Lady Superhoot.
Yeah, unless we can use this as a way to lure Mysterious Anonymous onto the podcast.
Oh.
And figure out who this person is.
He makes a good point.
Unless, of course, as just a name, Mysterious Anonymous, and they are neither mysterious nor anonymous. They just seem that way because we don't know anything about them.
What if, instead of giving the team to Mysterious Anonymous outright, we demand that they all appear here before us to make their case? That way we get to meet Lord and Lady Superhoot, which would be a delight for me. And we get to meet Mysterious Anonymous and suss out his true purpose, or hers, or its. And we'll meet the hedge fund people and discover what evil plants they wish to plant.
Am I the only one who loves saying Hoot Babies?
It is fun to say.
Hoot Babies is a wonderful name.
Yeah, the cheers just write themselves. I like your idea. It reminds me in Three Randy Centaurs, which is the third in the One Groovy Minotaur series. There's this great scene, and I hate to spoil it, but I'm going to.
Oh, that's all right. That's
where right. Jack Escalator, whose kind of nemesis is this guy named Nat Chandelier. And Nat Chandelier has got all these designs on basically destroying Jack Escalator and, you know, all of Jack Escalator's kind of compatriots.
Nick Cigarette?
Yeah, Nick Cigarette for one, absolutely. And so what he does, what Jack Escalator does at the suggestion of Betsy Typewriter, who is the only match for Jack Escalator in terms of both wits and just sexual capacity.
Ooh,
capacity?
And, yeah, just stamina. It's amazing. Some of these scenes are, they jump off the page. So there's this scene where Betsy and Jack get together and they set up this plan where they bring in Nat Chandelier, knowing the one thing that he truly wants, and which I won't spoil. And they set up this whole thing where if he comes and reveals himself, he'll give away his dastardly plans. And I don't want to tell you because it's the second climax of Three Randy Centaurs, but it is worth the read.
I must read these books.
Yeah.
They're terrific.
I'm going to get these books and how plant many, and just...
How many climaxes are in that book?
At least 24 in every one of the books.
Wow, well, that's a lot of climax capacity.
Oh, for Arnold's sake, a typewriter is a machine that writes a letter, and a chandelier is a living fireball made out of gems that lives on your ceiling.
Oh. And a climax is when you're having sex and someone is satisfied.
Oh, yeah, never... Well, Larry, I'm very excited for our plan moving forward to bring Mittens back to Hog's Face.
Me too. I can't wait. I've always thought Hog's Face is a great Mittens city and a great Mittens town and a great Mittens community. And it's really pained me that you lost the team, you know, following the destruction of Flower and all that a couple years ago.
That was my bad. So I guess, in a way, I do owe the city of Hog's Face millions and millions of golden gems.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't have, but...
Because you know who does. Miserly.
The Superhoots.
Oh, I can't wait to meet them.
I'm excited for this plan. But you know what else I'm excited about? Chunt, do you have any emails?
Yeah, I got an email here. You can email me always at chunt@gmail.com. That's chunt with six T's. This is from Diana. Diana says, "Hey, Chunt, I don't know if you know about Netflix from Arnie, but there's a show on it called Bright, starring Will Smith, and it is up your alley."
Will Smith what?
Will Smith what? Arnie, what is Smith going to do?
What are they asking he will do?
Will Smith...
I mean, probably to get jiggy with it.
All right. Huh. Smith sounds pretty cool. On the show, there is a Dark Lord and a whole bunch of orcs, elves, fairies, etc. I wonder if this show is a documentary as well. As always, thanks for making my day with your podcast, Diana. What is Netflix?
Netflix, it's just like... It's like Mittens, you know? It's just like a reason to live.
It's a sport?
No, it's just like a thing to watch and just kind of, and it just keeps going endlessly.
Can I murder a horse to see it?
I don't know. You could try. I mean, there's any number of things I would love to see on Netflix. So if, well, no, don't murder a horse for me though. No,
I will.
It's not worth a horse's
life.
Horse. Oh no, Usador.
Smoking a pipe. You're clearly an evil horse.
I slit it from ear to ear.
No.
My dad killed a horse.
Oh, kid,
Usador. I'm so proud of him.
He's going to learn it from watching you.
I'm going to learn to kill a horse myself.
That's the whole point of having a child.
We're going to have a weird Equus situation going on with this kid.
One of my dad's secret names is Pasta Cortez.
That's how the Italians know me.
The Italians.
Yes. An Italiana.
Well, anyway, you can also email me at magictavern@puppies.supplies. It's a real email address. And, you know, one of the things I'm trying to be proactive about this year is defeating the void and finding the secret weapon in the tavern, which we use the podcast to get help from you, the listeners on Earth. So we've been trying to figure out this painting of Otok's father, Darby. There's a painting of a dead Darby. And some people on Twitter have been trying to send me their ideas on what it might mean. At Andy R-O-F-L-Z-Z wrote, Darby is probably code for Arby's. Have you tried asking there? And then he tweeted again later, update, went to Arby's, they knew nothing. Fries were okay.
You can also contact me on Twitter, at Usador the Blue.
At Charlene519 tweeted at us, my Cabbage Patch doll I've had since I was 5 is named Darby. Yeah, I don't know. People on Earth are supposed to help us sort of figure some of this out. At Nation of Lee tweeted, Terrence Trent, ... Look, the only person that seems to have something helpful is the same person that helped us out with the clue behind the Burger King.
Is it Smith? Will Smith help us out?
Will Smith help us out?
Someday I hope Smith will help us
Smith,
out. Does it work
Smith,
that way?
If you're listening, please help us out.
But we did get some help from at Mess Girl, who sent me an image from Google Maps. There's a place in the UK called Darby End.
And the Darby in that painting's come to his end.
Yeah, he's dead. And let me read this here from Wikipedia, which is also in this image that she tweeted at us. Darby End Halt was a station on the former Great Western Railway's Bumble Hole line. So I guess Darby End is a place below Bumble Hole?
Oh, well, there's a picture of Bumble, too, right?
Yeah, I thought that name sounded familiar. Bumble. Who's Bumble?
Blemish's father.
Bumble Hole. Butthole?
Blemish's father's butthole died, and that's eventually what killed him, right?
Right. His butthole died, and that's what killed him.
And we have that painting of Blemish's father's butthole, right?
Oh, yes. It's one of my favorites.
Really? It's one of your favorites?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Well, let's try putting the painting above the Darby painting.
Okay. Yes, I put it right behind you, so you don't have to look at it and I can see it.
Oh, that's what's been behind me this whole time?
Yes. It gives me quite a laugh. That's why I like it. Here, now if you hang it up above, there.
What's going
on? The wall, it's shifting, moving about, opening up. Oh, and inside, what be this? This is one of the rarest artifacts you can find. A magical trap. An astral trap.
Ass trap.
This trap.
We found an only... ass trap?
Yes, astral trap. This trap. It doesn't just trap a person or a creature. It can draw in a creature across the dimension. And trap them within it.
Mysterious. What was his name?
Anonymous.
Its name, let's catch Mysterious Anonymous.
But he's in this dimension, right?
Yeah.
Well, it would work on him, too. But with this very trap, we could capture a creature from another dimension, like perhaps the Void, although it might not be big enough for the Void. I know not.
Ooh.
Or the Transdimensional Delivery Man, or...
Yeah, we could also catch that guy, Craig, that Kennedy Space Center told us about.
Or was it Greg?
Greg in space?
Greg or Craig? Greg
something
and Craig.
Something like that. I still think they were trying to get in touch with Radiolab.
Could be.
Well, I'm glad that we found this ass trap.
If it has unlimited uses, if you could get Dick Wizardry in here, I'd appreciate that too.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, he bolted into another dimension to get out of the fact that he's been killing my wives and trying to frame me for it.
Wow.
What a dick.
Yeah, we haven't heard about your rival in a while, so he escaped to another dimension?
Yeah, it finally came out, much to my pleasure, that indeed he was super guilty of framing me. And in fact, he'd kept a diary, writing all of it down, and then that got found by...
The jury found him super guilty?
He was. He was found super guilty. And just at that moment, pap, gone into a different dimension.
Do you know what dimension he went to?
I think it's... I'm not sure. It's whatever it is, it's probably the worst one. It's probably the dimension that most favors, like, just ass bags who have coasted on talent without working hard and then frame people that they're used to be friends with. So if there's a specific dimension for that, that's where Dick Wizardry is at.
It could be the one with the sharks that have nice breasts.
Oh, probably. That sounds about right. Oh, but look, where the Darby painting used to be, there's a bunch of runes and texts. Guys.
Another clue.
Are we excited for another clue?
Sure.
Okay. I think it on the bottom it says wakes, and it's kind of dusty above. What is it above here? V-E-R-T-E-R-R-I-L-A-X.
Vertilinix?
Vertilinix?
Vertilinix wakes. And beneath it is just a keypad with numbers on it.
A keypad?
What is a keypad?
It's just like a bunch of numbers that you push.
That sounds stupid.
Vertilinix wakes.
Here, I'll push all the numbers.
I've got it.
Yeah?
No, Arnie, hold still. I've got it. There's a piece of ivy with cum on it stuck to your back.
Oh, that's not mine.
Vertilinix. Vertilinix, how do I know that name?
Sounds like Spintax.
Sounds familiar to me, too.
Is that Spintax's dad?
I must spend some time studying these runes upon the wall and upon this ass trap.
See? So, isn't that a good name for it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. But in time, I shall unlock both of their secrets.
I think if you just tap that ass trap, you'll figure it out.
Yes. Tap, tap, tap. Nothing yet.
Lacey Ass Trap is one of the great characters in the fourth book.
I've got to read these books.
Well, when Bumblehole starts trending on Twitter, don't come crying to me. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young, bringing his usual... Ugh. Chunt the Starling was played by Adol Rafai. Larry Birdman, Commissioner of the Foon Mittens League, was played by special guest Rush Howell. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Jack Escalator, and Evan Jacover. This episode edited by Garrett Schultz. Well, look who's finally out of the shower, where I can only assume he was acting out the entirety of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Craig, care to join in the fun while I fire up the electron microscope to see how much hot water is left?
Sorry, I fell asleep in there. Let's see. Music by Andy Poland. Logo by Allard Laban. Additional audio effects by Jason Knox. Production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Visit us at hellofromthemagictavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter or on Reddit. You can chat about the show at r/magictavern or r/earwolf or really anywhere now that I think about it. I mean, hop over to r/Riverdale and let those guys know who really started the trend of playfully murderous fantasy protagonists. You know? Well, thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op, and thanks to Earwolf. See you next week!